John Kurtz back with Mitch Fortner here in studio on Wildcat Insider. Wyatt Thompson joining us over the phone here for the first couple of segments. The Wildcats already down in Lubbock, Texas. They take on the Red Raiders tomorrow night at 8:15. The tip time for that. We'll have pregame starting at 7 here on K-Man. Both the K-State men and the K-State women ranked right now 25th in the country after they each had 1-1 weeks last week with tough road loss and a nice home win. Very similar weeks, really, for the K-State men and women when you take all things into consideration. We'll welcome Wyatt back into Wildcat Insider with us. Mentioned Texas Tech is the opponent tomorrow. The Red Raiders look like they're off to a pretty nice start despite the loss to Kansas on Saturday in Allen Fieldhouse. They're 12-3 with their only losses coming at Kansas and at Iowa State, and then a neutral site loss in their non-conference schedule to Auburn. So, I mean, right now, this Texas Tech team seems to be like it's another one that could challenge for a top five or six spot in the league right now, Wyatt.
I will be honest with you, John. I have picked them all along as being the surprise team in the league. And yet, I don't really think they're the surprise team in the league. And let me explain that. With what they had back from a year ago, NCAA tournament team, I was just stunned at where they were picked in the coaches' poll. I understand they had a coaching change. I get that. But when you look at those four juniors, Odiase, Keenan Evans, Justin Gray, Zach Smith, that is a heck of a group to build around. And Odiase's actually been hurt a lot and has really not been much of a factor. But they have a grad transfer in Anthony Livingston. This is a good basketball team. I'm just telling you, they're good. So I was really stunned at where they were picked, and I think they have every chance to be in the upper third of the league. I could be dead wrong, but that's what I think, and I've thought that all along.
Well, a lot of people would view the Big 12 like a couple teams up towards the top, Kansas, Baylor, and maybe you throw West Virginia in that group as well, and then everything else is pretty wide open. So this would be one of those games that's going to separate yourself if you're trying to become, you know, the third or fourth best team in this league, which it would appear that K-State has that as a ceiling if they play to their potential.
Well, I think so, too. And that's why I think some of us pointed to this game early on as such an important game. Not that they all aren't. Not that the game at Kansas, you didn't think you could get a win there. But when you play the odds, you know, if you're, regardless of whether the win comes in Lawrence or here, if you're 3-1 after four or something to that effect, you're feeling really good about yourself with those two games out of the way. At least that's the way I see it. You know, I was sitting here talking to Stan during your commercial break in the sports update there, and you know, we're talking about our team and, you know, how they've played recently. And, you know, I think all of us see, you know, that this team is better. And one of the real intriguing things for me in the last two or three weeks, one of the reasons why, is Dean Wade. He's just become much more aggressive, much more consistent with that aggression through his play. I think that's taken this team to a different level. So I'm excited to see how they respond tomorrow night in this environment. I don't know exactly what kind of crowd we're talking about, but I think this will be a real tough ball game. And I expect Kansas State to make a run at it. I really do.
Well, and you bring up going 3-1, feeling good about yourself. You would also be then entering really a nothing-to-lose type of situation on Saturday with top-ranked Baylor coming in. I mean, if you're 3-1, feeling the momentum of that, you've got the number one team in the country coming in here. You already beat number one last year, the last time they rolled through Bramlage Coliseum, when that was Oklahoma last season. I mean, you could see how the wheels could get in motion, really rolling downhill in a good way.
Well, and this puts into perspective, you make a good point, I think this puts into perspective how hard the league is. Look at Baylor. They've gone from preseason with not a single vote in the poll to number one. They're 15-0, okay? Look at their week. How hard must it be for them this week? Their midweek game is at number 10 West Virginia, and Saturday they play at K-State. I don't care how you look at it, man. That's a pretty hard week.
Yeah, just a couple road games at ranked opponents in a week.
And if they're 17-0 after this week, look out, don't you think?
Oh yeah, they would.
It's also a very interesting team because of, you know, they have some new faces, but they're more veteran than a lot of people would understand. guys that have redshirted, guys that have been around, guys that are 21 or 22 years old. It's a pretty veteran-type team, and they're playing like it.
Well, it'll definitely be an exciting one on Saturday, tomorrow at Texas Tech, and then Saturday, K-State will host Baylor in the afternoon at Bramlage Coliseum, now the top-ranked team in the country. While we have you, Wyatt, I did want to ask you briefly about football and the biggest story really in the post-Texas Bowl win period since that has occurred is really that Elijah Lee announced that he is going to leave early for the NFL, not going to stick around at K-State for his senior year. I guess just your initial reaction to that news coming.
I was honestly quite surprised, to be honest with you. Not that I had given it a whole heck of a lot of thought. Truthfully, I hadn't given that particular subject any thought. I hope he's making the right decision for he and his family. I think there are some that will question that if this is the right thing or not. He's a very, very talented young man. It's a hit, I think, losing him. So that part is, you know, tough to swallow. But, you know, these kind of things happen. He's trying to, you know, help and support his family, and he believes he can do that going this route. Okay, good, best of luck. But me personally, just being selfish about it, I would have loved to have seen him come back. And I think it will have an effect, at least initially. As an example, does it change a little bit the recruiting process with the national signing period coming up next month? Do they go out and get a linebacker now where maybe they wouldn't have before? I don't know that, but I think common sense says you probably at least ought to look and see what's out there. What do you think?
Yeah, I would think that the talk will heat up for a junior college linebacker if there are those, you know, out there and available. And I'm with you that I do think it has an impact. You know, this may not be a total death knell, obviously, to next year's team, but now all of a sudden you look at it in every single level of the defense, really, you're losing a stud. You lose Jordan Willis, obviously, on the defensive line up front, then Elijah Lee from the linebacking core and Dante Barnett in your secondary. So that is, you know, when you look at that on paper, it does seem a little bit daunting.
Well, maybe even more so than a little bit in the fact that, you know, one of the other losses is Shamikiwa Moore. And when you lose both of those linebackers in basically what most of the time is a 4-2-5 setup, that's a pretty good knock. And let's be honest, Mike Moore from probably the last four or five games two seasons ago and through this year played terrific football for Kansas State. And for Elijah, I mean, he basically was a three-year starter. Those types of guys that are three-year starters and guys that start for about a year and a half and play at a pretty high level are hard to replace. So there will be some work to do in the recruiting process and in the spring and the summer and into next football season. But you still do it with the uptick of the bowl win. And I know we haven't had shows for a couple of weeks because of the holidays, but it was so great to win that from my perspective, just for the seniors to go out the right way and to move into the offseason with so many guys back. That's really exciting.
Yeah, and tons of talent coming back on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, even on defense, I feel pretty good about a lot of the depth that has developed in a lot of those spots, like linebacker. I mean, there are a lot of guys that were waiting in the wings, and I'll ask you about that. Who you think may step in? I mean, do you immediately start looking at Sam Sizelove, Trent Tanking, Elijah Sullivan? Would those be the top three names at the list?
Absolutely, and I think you could probably throw Jake Kirby into that mix too, a terrific special teams talent. I think those three that you mentioned and he will really, you know, get after it when we get to next spring. I always say this year in and year out, I love spring football for that reason, because, you know, as Coach Snyder says, every year is different. And when you get to the spring, it previews the fall, and or at least most of the time, what you're going to look like. You'll have an addition or two when you get into the, you know, first part of June when they, you know, whatever community college guys come in. But I think the spring from that perspective will make it intriguing for all of us fans. Let's put it that way.
Well, I know I've seen already Athlon release a preseason top 25 for next year with K-State in the top 20. Would imagine you'll continue to see a decent amount of publicity as far as that's concerned, with K-State being one of the, you know, top handful of teams that people will be looking towards in the Big 12 conference next year. Do you view them right now on paper, based on what we know, as a top three-ish team in the Big 12 next season?
Well, I think you can certainly make that argument with the number of starters back. And you talked about such a large amount of starters back on the offensive side where you basically lose, what, Deontay Burton, Terrell Johnson, probably Charles Jones. So you're looking at, for sure, 8 starters back. So that, based on that compared to what we faced a year ago at this time, and then you give, you know, a year into the system and playing time for guys like Jesse Ertz and Scott Brandt and all those other guys, I don't know how you couldn't be excited. I know I am. We all are, I think, that follow the program, fans alike. It's going to be fun.
Well, I will point out, too, while K-State takes a hit with Elijah Lee, I mean, everybody right now, it seems like, except for Oklahoma State maybe, up towards the top of the Big 12, is taking some hits like that to graduation.
Yeah.
And we see at Oklahoma, Perine, Mixon, both going to be gone. D.D. Westbrook is graduating. So,
right.
I mean, other teams are going to have to plug some holes, too.
Yeah, you met the two guys that Oklahoma State really wanted back are both going to come back. James Washington maybe will be the best receiver in the league coming back from this past year to this upcoming season. Mason Rudolph's just a terrific talent from my perspective, really, really fine player. I don't want to sell West Virginia short because I think that they will be good, but they do have to replace a quarterback, which is never easy. But I guess in answering or trying to answer, you know, like before your question about can they be in the top three, I think certainly based on having that quarterback back and the depth that they have in a lot of positions, even with the Elijah Lee loss, you bet. I think K-State could be right there. I mean, you got to go out and do it. But I like the schedule. I like their team. We'll see if Coach can do it again.
Well, it'll be spring football before we know it. So we'll get to it pretty quick here. Looking forward to that, certainly. And Wyatt, appreciate the time in joining us for a couple segments here on Wildcat Insider. Enjoy Lubbock and go get us a win.
Sounds good, John. Looking forward to the game tomorrow night. It's a big one for both, no doubt about it. Appreciate it, bud.
All right, there's Wyatt Thompson here on Wildcat Insider. Mitch and I will carry you for the rest of the show. Mitch caught up with Kindred Wiesman from the K-State Women. We'll play that back at 5:25. In hour two of the show, you can vote in the poll question that's up on my Twitter account, JL Kurtz. What's the most likely scenario this week for K-State Hoops? Go 2-0, 0-2, and then either 1-1 scenario, beating Tech, losing to Baylor, or vice versa. We'll get to the results of that later on in the show. When we come back, speaking of the Elijah Lee news, it should have really gotten one Wildcat's attention. We'll talk about that coming up here on Wildcat Insider.